Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's a lot of people. You look on people's LinkedIn profiles, their Twitter profiles, and you see them describing themselves as, oh, I'm a social media ninja.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. And today, Dori Clark explains how you can talk about yourself without sounding like a jerk. Now, Dori and I have spoken before about surviving the workplace, and she knows her stuff.
I am a contributor to the Harvard Business Review and Forbes, and I teach at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business.
So when I saw her article on the Harvard Business Review on how to promote yourself the right way, I asked her to come by because you know how important it is that people at work know what you're doing, but no one likes a braggart.
The message that I try to put forward to people is that self-promotion, when it's done right, is a good thing, it's an important thing, and you don't have to be the person who's always screaming from the rooftops, oh, I'm so awesome. You can find ways to show it rather than tell it, but you just have to be strategic about it.
But thanks to social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, as well as meetings or maybe even parties, it's so easy for people to do a little, look how fabulous my life is. I'm climbing Mount Everest. Or I'm salesperson of the year.
Because only a small percentage of people are using these tools, they are getting a disproportionate share of attention. And sometimes, frankly, they don't deserve it because they're not the ones with the best ideas. I want to level the playing field. I want the talented, quiet person in the back of the office who has been coming up with a really breakthrough innovation to be the person who gets noticed. I don't want the blowhards to win. I want the good guys to win, and we're not going to do that.
So I asked Dori, what's her elevator pitch? How does she do it without acting like a jerk?
Give me yours. I want to hear your promotion to me of yourself.
All right. Fantastic. So, you know, one of the things that I think is most important to keep in mind is that you want to use stories.
No, but is this about you? Like, I want to hear your, like,
oh, mine.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to hear you tell me, how do you promote yourself when people say, Dori Clark, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
How would you promote yourself to me?
I kept trying to push her to give it.
Bragging. Like, how do you do it?
Yeah. Okay. And
I want your story.
Yeah.
But she didn't. And she had a good reason.
The honest truth, Charlie, is that you don't actually want to lead up front in a lot of ways with yourself. For me, it's almost like playing chicken. Is how long can I wait before I tell people about myself? I literally want to drag it out as long as possible because I want to get to know the other person first. Because the elevator pitch is always going to be far more effective the more tailored and targeted it is. So I could, you know, tell you, oh, I have a standard thing that I can just say to anyone, but it's always going to be better if I've listened to you, heard what you care about and what you're passionate about, and then am able to spend my 10 or 15 second blurb saying something that's going to be relevant. Oh, Charlie, you work at a radio station. That's fantastic. I'm a business author, and I'm really lucky that I've gotten to appear on a few different radio shows like X, Y, and Z. Do you know so and so? And then the conversation moves forward again.
Do we need to brag?
So bragging is a really loaded term, and we don't need to brag. What we do need to do is actually, it starts with reframing the concept of self-promotion, because a lot of people don't want to do it because they think it's this inherent evil. But the truth is, self-promotion starts with understanding what you're good at. That's the first piece that a lot of people don't even get to. They don't even really know themselves well enough to know it. But if you do, if you really understand what you're good at and where you can make a contribution, it is actually doing other people, including your boss and your coworkers, a favor. Otherwise, they have to do all the work of figuring out, where do I slot this person? What's he good at? You want to raise your hand, and it makes life better for everyone.
Should we be using a different word than bragging, maybe? Like, self-promotion feels a little, not quite the right word. Branding feels a little cold.
I'm personally an advocate of personal branding as a term. I know some people rebel against it. They think that it equates them in some way to, you know, a dish detergent, that it commodifies them. Some people get hung up on that, and they use it as an excuse in a lot of ways not to do the work that I think is essential for everyone. So my hope is that people can move past the terminology if they don't like it, and at least think about the importance of making sure that you understand what you're good at and that other people understand what you're good at.
Okay, so let's get to the practical part. How do you go about doing that?
So there's a few things to keep in mind. The first one is that I think that we should have a return to facts, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think that if we can get people focused on quantifiable accomplishments, that allows other people to make a determination. If you're able to assemble what I will call proof points, and there don't have to be that many. It could be just a handful of proof points that you are able to casually mention to people. It is a signal of credibility that can ensure that other people take you as seriously as you deserve to be taken.
But even as you're telling the facts, that can sometimes come across as bragging. If you say, you know, for 10 years I've been doing this, and then for 5 years I went on to do that. Is it the tone that can matter and the context when you're describing these facts?
So the next important point to raise is the question of relevance. So something that gives a bad name to self-promotion is, you know, you see these, you know, on sitcoms, people coming in and saying the equivalent of, you know, oh, that's so interesting. Speaking of basketball, let me tell you about my new company that I started that's not about basketball.
Right.
And, you know, everyone says, oh, that's ridiculous. When you are having a legitimate conversation with anyone, you know, whether it's about jobs or anything else, what makes a conversation rather than a monologue is the fact that you are listening to the other person and there is interplay. And so you want to look for relevant moments to talk about yourself.
So when you are promoting yourself, is there some value to downplaying your accomplishments?
The question of whether to downplay your accomplishments is an interesting cultural one. I've done a fair amount of research on cross-cultural issues in personal branding and have written a couple of pieces for the Harvard Business Review with a colleague of mine, Andy Malinsky from Brandeis. And one of the big distinctions is that in Asia, actually, the preferred method of personal branding is to downplay your accomplishments. It's seen as, you know, very you know, wonderful and humble when someone says to you, oh, what a good speech. And you say something like, well, thank you, but it really could have been better. And, you know, that's a sign of admirable modesty there. In the U.S., people would say, what's your problem? What, you know, why don't you have good self-esteem? And so there are nuances like that. I would say that we should never, in a U.S. or Western context, we should never actively self-deprecate. It's actually considered insulting to the person complimenting you, where you're kind of batting down their compliment and saying, well, you don't really know what you're talking about. I wasn't that good. What I would say is that a certain amount of modesty and humility is important. And one of the ways that you can do this is to provide context. So if you are talking to people about something that it's quite conceivable they could feel jealous of, or they might feel bad about themselves because they haven't done it, giving enough context so that they understand why or how you're doing it is important. So for instance, if you've been working in China and somebody says, oh, you know, how are your language skills? You could just say, well, I'm fluent in Mandarin. And then everyone else around you is going to immediately feel embarrassed because they don't know Mandarin. In fact, they probably don't even remember any of their high school Spanish. And they'll think, oh, well, that person's a genius and they're maybe stuck up. But if you're able to just explain a little bit. You could say, well, I did become fluent in Mandarin and I'm really lucky that my employer was willing to pay for lessons for me. Then it shows a kind of recognition that, yes, you claim the accomplishment, but you are giving enough context so that other people don't have to feel embarrassed that they aren't doing that themselves.
So summarize for me, for most people who work in an office, how do they go about promoting themselves, maybe even touching on bragging, without sort of crossing over the line and being seen as a jerk?
So a couple of thoughts on this. Number one, something that I recommend in my book, Reinventing You, is actually something I call the wingman strategy. If you are at a conference, a cocktail party, whatever it is, you make a deal with a person. Hey, I'll promote you if you promote me. And you just look for opportunities to try in the conversation to help the other person shine. Theoretically, this is something we want to do for our friends anyway. So that's one useful strategy. But when it comes to you, the second piece, what I would say is that it's very useful for everyone to come up just in their heads with a list of maybe two or three either accomplishments that you've had, you know, sort of factual accomplishments, and also stories that illustrate them. So, you know, this is not something you need to shove down anybody's throat, but you need to be aware and just ask yourself, wow, if I could implant thoughts in the brains of other people, if I could have them know anything about me that would really convey the kind of impression that I would hope to make in the world, what would be those things? And do I have an interesting story that illuminates that in some way?
It sounds like you're also giving dating advice in a way that it's about trying to put your best image forward, but not spending the whole night talking about yourself. And being listening to what other people are saying and trying to be in the conversation, just instead of just giving a biography, a resume of what you've done.
Dating and professional life are remarkably similar. I mean, it's all about people. You want to understand the other person. Self-promotion should not be thought of as a strictly proactive, you know, pushing your message out. It's a lot more yin and yang in a lot of ways. You want to be pushing a little bit, but you also want to be adapting to the person you're talking about. It is not one size fits all.
Dory, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dory Clark is a business professor at Duke University and the author of Reinventing You: Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. And to be Dory's wingman for just a moment, she's done some pretty impressive things. She graduated from Smith College when she was just 18. At 20, she received her master's in theological studies from Harvard Divinity School. She's been a journalist, a spokesperson for a presidential campaign. I could go on. So if I have one takeaway from talking to her, I need to get my own wingman. So how do you do it? Let us know. Send a note to me on Twitter, at Charlie Herman, or send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. And if you want to be our wingman, and we'd really love it if you could, check us out on iTunes. There are a lot more conversations just like this. And if you give us a review, it'll really help get the word out. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.